It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. And the past few years, I don't need to tell you, have shaken up the fundamental ways we live. It has been disorienting. But it's also an opportunity to examine how we spend our time. And so welcome to our special three-part series. We're calling it Work, Play, Rest. And over the next 3 weeks, we'll be investigating evolving notions of what it means to work hard, be productive, and pay the bills.
There's been this idea in corporate America that you're part of a family. But that concept was really turned on its head during the pandemic.
We'll explore what makes us happy and fulfilled, feel joyous, playful.
Yeah, I describe it as there's no wrong way to play.
It's like seeking the spark that starts the process going.
And then we'll examine ideas about how we rest and spend our downtime.
It's mindfulness, it's meditation that can help calm our brains down.
There's a lot to come. But for now, let's get started with part one, work.
My alarm goes off at 4 a.m. I get up, get myself together, get my dog out, get my cats fed, and then I'm to my store to be ready to punch in by 5 a.m.
This is Michelle Eisen.
I'm a barista at the Elmwood Starbucks location in Buffalo, New York.
She's been working at Starbucks since 2010, and she's loved it.
The customers are great. It's a lot of people who live around the corner. So you see these people every day. You know, I've seen their children grow up.
But when the pandemic began, the job got more demanding.
The company, they wanted increased productivity. The expectation that we were going to produce above and beyond pre-pandemic levels. And, you know, we're being told, well, you know, the store is underperforming. You're not getting these drinks out fast enough. And that was hard.
In August 2021, a coworker told Michelle that some of them wanted to form a union.
And I, like, thought I'd misheard her. And I said, what do I think about what? And she said, Starbucks unionizing. And I said, it never really crossed my mind because I just don't know if I ever thought that our industry could be unionized. But I went, you know what? This might be the solution I'm looking for, because my option was to leave a company that I devoted an excessive amount of time to, or I could try to change that company for the better from the inside out. And that just seemed like the better option.
Once the employees decided to move forward, they needed to let Starbucks executives know. And Michelle says their response felt pretty aggressive.
They shipped in corporate members from all over the country. And they sent these people here essentially to be on the floor with us day in and day out, kind of there to overhear our conversations and break up any conversations that might be happening between a union supporter and someone who might still be on the fence. And it did scare a lot of my coworkers. People were calling off because the mental stress was too much to come in and work in our store every day. But I thought if we didn't win the union, it would probably get worse.
In December 2021, the decision was put to a vote. And surprising almost everyone, it succeeded.
History made in Buffalo, New York. Starbucks workers at the Elmwood Avenue location voted to unionize.
First unionized corporate Starbucks store in the country.
It was pretty powerful. And now to know that it has had an effect. Additional stores across the country have filed petitions for unionization. I mean, if one store can get the response that it has gotten, I have to imagine that every time another store signs on, it's just going to get a bigger and bigger response, which is pretty amazing.
Events like these come at a time when we're all rethinking how we work, where we work, and even why we work.
Our work culture in many parts of the economy is simply inhumane. And I think there is zero tolerance for that now.
This is labor organizer Jess Kutch.
We require employers to see our whole selves. We require employers to see that we are parents, that we have children, we have seniors in our family that need our support and care. And so I think that this idea that employers can ignore everything else that's going on in a worker's life, that's just no longer going to be the case.
Right now, America is experiencing a big change in what it means to have a job, and especially what it means when your job treats you like crap.
2021 set records for the number of U.S. workers quitting their jobs. Many are calling it the Great Resignation.
The department says more than 4.4 million workers handed in their resignations in September.
We've seen employees going on strike.
10,000 John Deere workers officially went on strike today.
Workers at Kellogg are in their second week on the picket line.
And workers forming unions in industries where we've never seen unions before.
There's a job quality crisis in America, and workers are now having more of an upper hand and being able to decide which jobs are going to best fit their lives.
The power dynamic between companies and workers has definitely shifted. But are we talking about a temporary change or something more permanent, like a real redefining of the employer-employee relationship?
Yeah, I think you're seeing it at all in all sectors of the economy. These, you know, emerging trends around companies like Unilever experimenting with four-day work weeks. Some countries have passed laws banning employers from emailing workers after business hours. I think there's a recognition that work has its place in our lives, but it's not our whole reason for living. You know, in some fields, working 60, 70 hours a week is the norm. And you're starting to see people, even in like the finance world, pushing back against that.
But when it comes to pay, the lower end of the pay scale is where companies are really having to make changes, right? Like, especially in the U.S.
Well, there is just a sheer like numbers question. Every time people leave a job, that's a cost to the employer to recruit and train a replacement. I think what you're seeing is employers scrambling to improve job quality. I live in Asheville, North Carolina, and the Krispy Kreme down the street from me is advertising starting pay at $15 an hour. A couple of years ago, that pay was half that rate. So you're seeing like wage increases, but I also think you're seeing like job quality improving as well.
What about in a place like the tech industry, where you really haven't seen unions before? I guess I'm wondering, when people organize, are they doing it for different reasons? Are the demands different now compared to, say, 50, 60 years ago?
No, so I think the reason people have always organized was to confront the power of capital and try to advocate for the needs of workers and the communities that workers come from. But seeing people kind of organize around ethical issues for the companies they work for, I think a reason we haven't heard about that is in part because labor law itself doesn't recognize that issue as legitimate. Like, workers have no business having a voice on how this organization conducts its business. And you're seeing this in the tech sector, just a refusal to accept that.
Yeah. I mean, and we're seeing it in different ways. There was, of course, like the Google walkouts before the pandemic, but then we saw people walk out at Netflix over comedian Dave Chappelle's content. But it's not that they're not getting paid enough. It's about saying, like, do you understand the power that you have over society, dear company, right?
Yeah, I mean, people want more of a say in how their businesses have an impact in the world, especially given the climate crisis. Like, Amazon employees formed Amazonians for Climate Justice to pressure their company to really live up to its climate pledges that it's made. So you're going to have folks kind of deciding enough is enough and, you know, joining together with their peers to effect change.
What do you say to employers, though, who are like, well, we can't afford to keep running our company by the standards that you're asking for? Because, you know, there are real concerns about companies that are just barely hanging on. And if their employees unionize, they may not be able to continue to exist.
Yeah, I challenge that. I think that often when companies struggle, They look to cutting labor costs as the first place to reduce their costs. But I think it's pretty short-sighted. And you're seeing that in the Great Resignation, which companies are doing well and which ones are struggling. Like, take, for example, UPS and FedEx. UPS is a unionized workforce. FedEx relies for its on-the-ground delivery, like a network of independent contractors with non-union drivers. FedEx has been dealing with a labor shortage since the pandemic began. UPS has not had that problem. So it's like that short-term thinking of, well, we need to reduce costs. We need to keep, you know, deliver shareholder value. So let's cut benefits. Let's cut wages. And it doesn't make good business sense.
You know, Jess, it feels like it comes down to a questioning of the entire system, a questioning of capitalism, and maybe questioning whether shareholders should come first. Maybe the whole way we run society is hurting our workforce. Are you feeling that shift?
Oh, yes. It feels very different. And this idea that capitalism will deliver sort of the greatest good for the greatest amount of people, I think is being questioned by everyone. And I think that, like, workplace organizing is sort of a social contagion. Like, when people see other folks going out on strike or staging walkouts and being successful, they're more likely to try it themselves. So I think we're only at the beginning stages of what's going to be a prolonged period of labor activism in the United States and elsewhere.
That's Jess Kutch. She's the co-founder of Coworker.org. You can see her full talk at TED.com. And just a note on Michelle Eisen's story, we reached out to Starbucks for a comment, and Starbucks denies any claims of union busting and says the additional staff sent to Buffalo were there to support employees on the ground. None of them came from their corporate offices. So far, over 24 other Starbucks locations across the country have filed petitions to unionize. On the show today, the first part of our series, Work, Play, Rest. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.